Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, the book of Acts. And what a blessing to be in church. You know, it's good to be able to go to church, ain't it? You know, not have to just have to see it, you know, on a screen. I like to be able to go. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly. And you know, there for a little bit, we had to be outside. I preached on the back of a trailer for a few weeks, and then I preached just to a microphone. But boy, it sure is better to get to preach to people and to do what, you know, God intended for the church to do. But we're living in some different times, ain't we? We're living in different times, and a lot of people, you know, has been sick with this virus and stuff. But you know something? We just need to pray and trust God and continue to go forward is what we need to do. And I'm glad to be here with you tonight. And I love Steve and Rebecca. I'm proud of them. And I was over to see the building today over next door. And you got a wonderful opportunity. And God put that thing there for you. And you'll do well. It's amazing what the Lord's done for you. It really is. It's amazing to see what God's done. And you trust Him. And I've been where you are. I've been places where we needed a building. I can say a little bit about it real quickly. Many years ago, we had a little old building that would seat, 200 packed. I'm talking about 200 people. That would be max. And at that time, we was running 750 with a building that hold 200. Now, Steve, I'm telling the facts about it later. And we had Sunday school classes on steps. We had Sunday school classes out in the grass. We had them on buses. We done everything. And God let us just whittle away at that thing and pay on it and pray. And we finally got it paid for and built a new building. And then after that, we built a gym. And so, and by the way, now I know sometimes it takes faith. And by the way, If faith is not in it, God ain't in it. If there's no faith involved, let me tell you right now, God ain't in it. Because God is a God that wants us to put our faith in Him, to trust Him. Not only for salvation, but for service and for supplies. I've watched God supply things for Trinity Baptist Church every step of the way. For us, He's taken care of us. Preacher, He'll do that for you. He'll do it for Bible Baptist here. He'll do it for you. You trust Him. And here's the thing, is obey what God said to do, and God is obligated. He will not be denied. You obey what God says. You pray. You do what you're supposed to do, and God will do His part. You can mark sure. But see, sometimes the first move is yours. You know, whenever, and I'm not going to preach on this, but you know, whenever Jesus was at that wedding feast in John chapter 2. And they run out of wine. Now, I'm talking about grape juice. I don't mean liquor wine. There's a difference. And it wasn't alcohol. That's right. Now, I might not get many amens on that, but let me tell you something. It wasn't alcohol. Say amen. There was no alcohol there. You say, how you know? Because the same God that turned that water into that is the same God in Proverbs chapter 20 condemned it. But anyhow, you know what He told them? He told them to get them water pots, fill them up with water. Did He? Fill it up with water. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, here's the key to the Christian life. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Right there it is. That's it. Whatever He saith, just do it and you'll be all right. And let me tell you something, the best was yet to come. And I'll tell you, if you'll do what He tells you, the best is yet to come. Yeah, that's good. Mary and Martha, they got down there and their brother died. Am I telling it right? John chapter 11. They sent for Jesus. He waited 4 days so He'd get the glory. Somebody wouldn't just say He passed out. He'd been buried 4 days. And listen, when He got there, you know what He said? Roll the stone away from the door. Now, they couldn't raise the dead, but they could roll a stone. And you can't raise the dead, but you can do what you're supposed to do. And when they moved the rock, business picked up. Amen. They moved that stone, and Lazarus, he said, come forward. Come forward. And if Jesus hadn't said Lazarus, the whole graveyard would have got up. Amen. You know why? Because the resurrection and the life was standing in front of that grave. Praise God. Am I telling it right? Look in your Bibles in Acts chapter 2. Mother Steve, thank you for letting me preach for you tonight. And it's exciting to see what the Lord's going to do for you. And the missionary, God bless you. I appreciate all of it. And thank you for letting me come. Thank you for everything. And Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, I'm going to preach to you tonight on this thought. And I'm not going to preach long. I'm going to let you out here. But I'm just going to give you the outline, then you preachers can preach it. Brother, you can take it back to India and preach this. You use it. Take it back, write it down, go back there and give it to that crowd. You got a crowd over there, ain't you? And but I'm going to preach to you seven signs of a great church. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on none of them. I'm just going to give them to you. But if you ain't got these signs, you ain't got a great church. See, you might have a church, but there's a difference in a great church. See, a difference in a great church. Help me. And so I'm going to pray and ask God to help me. Father, I pray that you'll help me for these next few minutes to preach with the touch of God. And thank you for the songs. Thank you for the testimony of the missionary. Thank you for all of it tonight. God, help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, personally, I believe the church started over there in Matthew, where Jesus said to the disciples, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, you said, I think it started in Acts. Well, let me just, and I'm not a theologian. I never went to Bible college. But you know, there's only two ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. They were practicing both ordinances before Acts chapter 2. You can't have ordinances of a church unless you got a church. You say, well, what about it? Yeah, I'm telling it right. You know what they did? Jesus met with his church before he was crucified and took the Lord's Supper. You can't do that unless you got a church. Anywhere anybody's trying to serve the Lord's Supper outside of a local church, it ain't scriptural. You say, well, how did Jesus do it? Did it with his disciples. The same crowd he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, is the same crowd he practices. So don't let nobody tell you it started in Acts. You can believe, if you want to, you can believe it did. But it did. You can believe it did, and I wouldn't argue with you about it. But I'm just telling you that the ordinances were practiced before the book of Acts. So, I'm going to tell you, though, that the Lord told the disciples to go back. In Luke 24, he told them to go back and tarry in Jerusalem till God turned the lights on. He said, the power will come. Did he not? And brother, they went into that room and they prayed, and they prayed, and the power of God came. When they come out of there, God's power was there. Now, so I want to give you what this church did. And folks, if we fail today, if you say, boy, I'd like to know how to build a church, all you got to do is take this right here and go with it. It'll work anywhere. Brother, people looking for something new, you don't need something new. You need to practice the obvious that Jesus said. Now, what makes a church, what's a sign of a great church? Number one, they were controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24:49, and they went up into the upper room and they prayed till the power came. You see, Acts 4:31 said in the place and where they were assembled, they prayed, and the place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now let me tell you, you can do anything you want to do, but if you fail to pray, it's not going to fly. It's just not going to do it. You know, years ago, the Sword of the Lord, they interviewed Brother Bobby Robertson. Brother Bobby's in heaven. But Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina, at that time was just thriving. Now, here's a church out in the country running 3,000. Unbelievable. Great church. The Sword interviewed Brother Bobby, and they said to him, "What do you think made Gospel Light thrive like that?" They said, "Brother Bobby, is it your preaching?" Now, they're taking all this down. He said, "No, it's not that." And Brother Bobby's a great preacher. He said, "No, it ain't that." They said, "Is it the organization of your Sunday school?" He said, "It's not that. We got a good Sunday school." And they said, "Is it your bus ministry?" He had one of the best bus ministries ever. "It's not that." They said, "In your opinion, why do you think your church has grown the way it's grown?" And Brother Bobby, with tears in his eyes, said, "Probably the Saturday night men's prayer meeting, where a group of men meet together and get on their faces." Brother Bobby told me this personally, that on Saturday nights, he said, we would meet, sometimes 40, 50 men would meet and start praying. And he told me this out of his own mouth, sometimes we would leave the prayer meeting just in time to go home on Sunday morning and shave and brush our teeth and eat a bite of breakfast and put on our tie and come back. And he said, and when I did, he said, the power fell. The power would fall. And hardened sinners was walking the aisles and getting saved, and God was adding to that church. What was it? They learned the secret and were controlled by power. Now let me say, what was the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, so the early church was controlled by power. Number two, they were confident in prayer. If you read the book of Acts constantly, read Acts 16, just look at it in Acts 16. And Paul said, as we went to prayer, down there, it's where they won Lydia. They won Lydia and her whole crowd. Then after that, got put in jail for winning that demon-possessed woman. They won her. And they got in jail, and at midnight they began to pray and praise God, and God shook that jail. Somebody said, Elvis come out with a jailhouse rock, but God's the first one ever rocked a jail. The shackles fell off. The bars swung open. And they left under there with a convert under their arm. And that old boy run up and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." But every bit of that happened because that they prayed. Acts chapter 12, Simon Peter got locked up. What did the church do? They didn't go with placards and walk around the courthouse saying, "We protest." They didn't protest, they prayed. And the Bible said down at John Mark's mother's house, Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, they continued to pray. And listen, the angel of the Lord walked in that jailhouse and said, "Bind on your sandals." The shackles fell off and the gates swung open like a door down at Walmart. And they walked out of there unharmed. When he got to the prayer meeting, when Peter got to the prayer meeting, knocked on the door, little Rhoda answered the door and said, "Yonder's the preacher." And they said, "Don't disturb this prayer meeting." But he got out of there by prayer. Seven signs of a great church. They were controlled by power. The power of God. And they were confident in prayer. The next thing they were committed to purity. In Acts chapter 5, the church was trying to raise money, looked like, the church had some people in, sold some land, a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. Now, this is what I believe about this whole thing. I don't have time to read it. But in they sold land, and between the two of them, they said, look, we're going to tell the church, because we're going to give an offering to the church. We're going to say we got this much, but really we know we got this much. Now, in Acts chapter 5, if you read it, look what happened. Certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira's wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart, look at this, to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now, all he had to do, I believe, would have been said, look, we got $10,000 out of this, but we prayed about it, and all we're going to give is our tithe and offerings and $5,000. We ain't going to give it all, but we're going to give this much. But they lied about what they said they was going to do. And listen, if you think lying ain't serious, look right here. I don't see ever where God killed nobody over adultery, but I'm going to tell you something. He killed this man over lying. And he dropped dead. And brother, back in them days, they didn't waste no time. They rolled him up in a blanket, took him out, dug a hole, and put him in it. His wife, not knowing what was happening, about 3 hours later, she come rolling in. She don't even know he's dead. She walks into the pastor's office and said, he said, did you sell that lamb for so-and-so? She said, sure did. He said, the same pallbearers that carried out your husband is standing out on the church porch waiting on you. And she dropped dead. And they buried her. And the Bible said, read it, great fear came on the church. I guarantee you one thing, tithes and offerings was up next week. And I guarantee you one thing, but them altars filled up. And I guarantee you when the old boy got read the obituary, he said to his wife, honey, did you pay our tithes? Did you pay? Make sure we're paid up. And whatever you do, don't tell that preacher nothing. Just don't say nothing. Let me handle it. Hey, they believed in purity. You know what, Dave? We need their churches. We need pure living. Hey, how can we ask the Spirit of God to come down on some that ain't clean? Hey, do you know something, sister? When the ark was built and old Noah, the world got so filthy and wicked, when the ark it started raining and God picked that ark up with them flood waters, and you know what? They was in there for days and days, and when Noah wanted to know if everything was able to go back out, you know what he did? He sent that raven out there. A raven bird, just an old black crow. He sent that old raven. And you know what he did? That raven was a dirty bird. And you know what it is? That raven would find a body full of water, a person had drowned it. That old raven, he wants something to eat. He'd just land on that dead body and start eating away. You know why? He'd eat the filth. But whenever he sent that dove out there, that dove made a big circle and come back. You know why? It said she found no place for the sole of her foot. That dove's a type of the Holy Ghost. And she come back. He put his arm out and that dove landed on his arm. He said she couldn't find nowhere to light. When he sent her out the next time, she come back that olive leaf. He said, boys, it's time to get off. But you know what? That dove wouldn't land on that dirt. And let me tell you something. The Spirit of God ain't going to land on where there's a bunch of dirt going on. Yeah, it is, even if I'm doing it. It's a truth. You see? They were committed to purity. They were committed to purity. They were captivated by a person. They had their love on one person. It was the Lord Jesus. You know what they said, Acts 4:12? There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. They was captivated by a person. They loved Christ. They loved Him. You know what today we need to do? We need to fall in love with Him. Be captivated. And let me tell you, love for the Lord Jesus Christ will solve every problem a church has got. Hey, you know something, sir? That love for the Lord Jesus will take care of praying. People pray if they love Him. People will come if they love Him. People will tithe if they love Him. People will give and people will go. People will give to missions. See, the problem is when people don't love Him, you can't move them. But that early church was captivated by love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were captivated by a person. See, they praised the Lord Jesus. They practiced obedience. And the problem with churches in Ephesus, in Revelation chapter 2, he said, you're fundamental to the T. There's King James. They looked right. They're doing everything they're supposed to be doing, but look right here. He said he commended them, and then he condemned them. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. What did he have against them? You don't love me. You know what's wrong with the church today of Laodicea? The Laodicean church? And if you don't believe we live in it, read Revelation chapter 3. We're increased with riches and goods, and we have need of nothing. Back in churches meeting in storefronts and everything else, in tents and old barred buildings and everything, people can cry, shout, run aisles and pray, win souls, bring visitors. Now we got everything in the world. We ain't halfway plugged in. Our problem is we're not captivated by a person. Let me give you something else. They were clothed with praise. They praised God. Brother Roloff used to say, there's two ways to get God on the scene. Pray Him down and praise Him down. Hey, what'd they do in Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas got in that jail? They began to praise God at midnight and they began to pray and business picked up. We ought to praise God. There's not enough of it. We got a gal in our church, she shouts and praises God. Somebody a while back said, you know what? That bothers me. I said, don't say nothing to her. Let her alone. I said, bless God, what bothers me is some of you sitting on a pew like a wooden Indian when I'm preaching the riches of Christ and sit there and stare at me and never say amen. Somebody say amen. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be lifted up. Ain't nothing wrong. There ain't one thing wrong with somebody saying amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I tell them at our place, I don't care how high you jump, how fast you run. Listen, as long as when you hit the ground, you're walking straight, we can understand what you're saying. Somebody said amen. Yeah. Say amen. They were clothed with praise. Let me give you something else. They were consumed with personal soul winning. They were consumed with personal soul winning. Hey, you know what they did? The Bible said the Lord added to this church daily. How'd He add it daily? I'll tell you why. The members scattered. See, today our emphasis is on the gathered church. And back in the book of Acts, emphasis was on the scattered church. Acts chapter 8. Scattered, going everywhere, preaching the word. They went everywhere. They had gospel tracts on them all the time. They was witnessing all the time. Everywhere they went, they was talking to people. And let me tell you something. God's people needs to get busy. You know what Jesus said, Acts 1:8? But ye shall receive power. There's the first thing I told you they had to have. You ain't doing nothing, you ain't got no power. Go out there and try to start your truck or car without a battery. It ain't moving. You can have a full tank of gas and you ain't got no power. So he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, that's here in Simpsonville, and Judea, that's out with your buses a little bit further. Samaria, that's out a little bit further. And then he said, even to the uttermost part of the earth. But you'll be witnesses. Personal soul winning. Everybody in this room ought to be personally trying to get people saved. Personally. You ought to get people saved. Personal soul winning. We about forgot this thing of personal soul winning, but bless God, we better get back to it. Let me give you one more thing and I'm done. They were challenged with a pattern to evangelize the world. They were challenged with a pattern to evangelize the world. You know why you got Brother Hendricks here tonight? Because of a challenge that these people gave to evangelize the world. What was the challenge? Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, starting at home, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even unto the uttermost part of the earth. Go to the whole world. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And by the way, let me just help you with something. This will help you. If you think that after you start working on that building and adding to that building and painting and everything, you said, you know, we can't afford, we took on a debt, we can't afford missions. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. It's exactly the opposite. Can I tell you something? Hey, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given. Now here's what we think. Bank it and you got it. But that ain't it. The emphasis is on giving and going. Giving and going. Look right here. You give. When I came to Trinity Baptist Church, we had three missionaries and $331,000 of debt. Three missionaries. And what I've done is I've started helping missionaries and going soul winning and praying. Everything that I just preached to you, we practice. And still practice. And I've had people walk up to me and say, how are you going to help that missionary? I said, we're going to trust God. And I've watched God take care of Trinity Baptist Church. We've bought buildings. We've built buildings. We've bought land. And I've seen every dime of it paid off by exactly what I'm just telling you. It's God's plan. I didn't give you nothing of mine. I give you what they did. And what worked then will work now. Now let me ask you something. As a member, what are you doing personally? Are you praying? Are you a personal soul winner? Are you praising God? Are you pure? You living clean? Are you putting money into missions? Hey, I'm talking about personally, sir, personally. If you'll personally help missionaries, God will bless you. He'll take care of you. Can I tell you one story and I'm through? An evangelist, this is just one story that I know of, true story. An evangelist preaching a meeting and he needed money. He hadn't had meetings like he wanted to. I don't know the man personally, but a pastor friend of mine is good friends with this guy. The evangelist was getting just a meeting here and there. He had a wife and some kids. He went and preached a missions conference for a pastor. In that missions conference, the last night of the missions conference, a missionary was in the back of the auditorium with about four or five little kids and was folding up a missions table. The pastor over here handed a check to this evangelist. The evangelist said when he turned and looked back there, God spoke to him and said, give your love offering to that missionary. He said, literally, I started arguing with God. He said, God, I hadn't even had no meetings. What am I going to do? He said, I got bills. I mean, order, you sure? He said, I mean, it was obvious God wanted me to give. And he said, I belligerently walked up, pulled the envelope out, handed it to that missionary, and said, sir, God told me to give you this, and if you argue with me, I'll take it back. So don't offer it back, because if you do, I'm taking it. And he just said, the missionary looked at him and said, are you sure? He said, yes, sir, I'm sure. He said, I'm just doing what God told me to do. He said, the pastor over here hollered back at the evangelist and said, hey, brother, meet us down at, I don't know what restaurant it was, meet me down there. We're going to have a little fellowship. I know you're heading home, but you can stop for a few minutes. And the guy said, I got to get going. He said, no, come on down there. You got time to drink a cup of coffee. So the guy said, all right. He said, he went out and got in his truck, started it up. He said, he needed gas. He said, I really didn't even have enough gas, money in my pocket to fill the truck. And he just gave away every penny he had. And he said, I drove on down to that restaurant, walked inside. He said, one of the men, a businessman, was in there, sitting at a table by himself, had a table reserved, and he was sitting there. I walked in and sat down, across from him. He said, good preaching night. I enjoyed it. He said, thank you. Said, the man looked at him a minute, said, just stared at him, and said, let me ask you a question. Did God tell you tonight to give away your offering? He said, there's no way he could have knew. Except God told him. Did God tell you to give your love offering to a missionary? He said, he did. He said, did you do it? He said, I did. He said, that businessman reached in his pocket and slid an envelope over to him and said, don't give that away. He thought to himself, he said, you don't have to worry, buddy. I ain't got nothing to give away. I got to get home on this. He said, he put in his pocket, got in his truck after they'd fellowshipped. Said he had to get gas. He thought, well, maybe it was some cash. And when he opened up the envelope, was a check in there for $25,000. If you don't think God's big enough to take care of you, your part as a church is being obedient. Go soul winning. That missionary went over there from Ohio years ago, went over there to India, thought he failed. I wonder though, brother, and I'm not being critical, I wonder what he would have seen if he had just stayed. There'd probably be 100 like him. See, we just need to be faithful doing the obvious. Let's bow.